KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 36 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today, a high of 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. A Pottawatomie County man who holds a key position with a local ward of the Church of Latter-day Saints has been charged with six counts of sex-related crimes. 26-year-old James Rayborn of Oakland has been charged with two felony counts of sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist, two misdemeanor counts of sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist, as well as single misdemeanor counts of dissemination or exhibition of obscene material to minors and purchase or possession of depiction of minor in a sex act. The charges stem from alleged sexual relationships with two 16-year-old females. No contact orders, which prohibit Rayborn from contacting the victims, were filed on Wednesday. Rayborn was arrested February 12th and posted $65,000 bond one day later. His attorney, Jordan Glazer, said Rayborn plans to plead not guilty. According to the arrest affidavit, Rayborn works as a ward young men president for the LDS. The LDS's webpage says the ward young men president serves as a member of the ward priesthood executive committee and the ward council. As a member of the committee and council, he participates in efforts to build faith and strengthen individuals and families. Investigators interviewed a representative with the LDS Church who said Rayborn was a member of its clergy. Investigators with the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said Rayborn met the two 16-year-old girls in his role as a ward young men president. In the arrest affidavit, the two victims are listed only as Jane Doe 1 and Jane Doe 2. Jane Doe 1 reportedly met Rayborn in July of 2015 and later introduced him to Jane Doe 2. According to the arrest affidavit, Jane Doe 1 met with authorities November 12th, while Jane Doe 2 was interviewed on December 4th. Both girls reportedly said they performed sexual acts with Rayborn and received explicit pictures from the suspect. Jane Doe 1 reportedly told authorities she was aware that Rayborn was married with children. With a search warrant, investigators searched residences in Oakland and Red Oak and allegedly found explicit pictures of Jane Doe 2, as well as text messages between the two of them describing their relationship. The two victims also turned in gifts of jewelry, clothes, and memorabilia, which they allegedly received from Rayborn. If convicted on the felony sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist charges, Rayborn could receive up to 5 years in prison. His next court date is a preliminary hearing on March 9th. Authorities in Council Bluffs have cited a resident there for having dangerous animals in his house. The Council Bluffs Police Department area representative or PAR unit was called to the home of 36-year-old Jeremy Mashmeyer after receiving complaints Mashmeyer had an unlicensed pit bull. Search warrant in hand, police officers entered Mashmeyer's residence in the 2100 block of Avenue C Tuesday morning and found the dog as well as 10 boa constrictors. The illegal animals were taken from the residence. Mashmeyer's court date was scheduled for February 24th, at which time he can appeal for the return of the animals. According to Council Bluffs Municipal Code, an animal with a propensity, tendency, or disposition to attack, to cause injury, or to otherwise endanger the safety of humans or other domestic animals is considered to be dangerous. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest Wednesday afternoon of a Red Oak woman on two bench warrants. Deputies arrested 26-year-old Mildred Eleonora Douglas of Red Oak at around 3:50 p.m. One of the warrants was out of Cass County for driving while revoked. The second was out of Pottawatomie County for failure to appear on an OWI charge. Both bonds were $2,000, and Douglas was turned over to Cass County authorities. The Page County Sheriff's Office said one person was transported to the hospital following an accident Wednesday morning. The crash took place just after 8 a.m. at 170th Street and Avenue E, or about 2 miles south and east of Essex. Essex Fire and Rescue was called to the scene and extricated 33-year-old Susan Elizabeth Moore of Villisca from the car she was driving. Moore was then transported to Shenandoah Memorial Hospital by Essex Rescue for treatment of undisclosed injuries. The driver of the other vehicle, 50-year-old Melissa Long of rural Shenandoah, and her passenger were checked for injuries but were found to be okay. An investigation into the accident determined Long was driving a 2007 Jeep Liberty north on E Avenue from the stop sign crossing 170th. Long said she didn't see the 2012 Chevy Malibu that Moore was operating westbound on 170th Street, east of the intersection with E Avenue. Moore saw the Long vehicle start from the stop sign and continue into the intersection. She tried to brake, but Long's SUV hit the car on the driver's side front door. The collision caused Moore's car to spin counterclockwise into the north ditch where it hit and destroyed a county road signpost. The car came to rest in the north ditch. Long's SUV also spun counterclockwise and came to rest in the eastbound lane of 170th Street just west of the intersection. Deputies cited Long for failure to have insurance and failure to yield upon entering a through highway. A man wanted in Sac County for attempted murder in connection with an alleged intentional hit and run was arrested Wednesday in Fort Dodge. According to KCCI-TV, 36-year-old Jeremy Werneberg was captured after a brief struggle at a Walmart store when officers from the Fort Dodge Police Department received a tip that he was there. Fort Dodge Police Officer Matt Burns attempted to place Werneberg in handcuffs, and Werneberg began to fight back. Burns suffered an injury to his left knee and was forced to use his stun gun to subdue Werneberg. Werneberg was later transported to the Webster County Jail, where he was charged with assault on a peace officer causing injury and interference with official acts causing injury. The attempted murder charge stems from an incident on February 14th where Werneberg is alleged to have hit a Glidden man on purpose with his car. Elsewhere in the news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday approved the appointment of a full-time assistant to the county auditor's office. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman said one of his deputies had submitted her resignation effective April 30th, and the appointment of an assistant was needed to train for a couple of months before a full-time deputy auditor is appointed by the board.
So I'm requesting that Mary Beth Anstey be appointed as auditor's assistant.
Anstey will be paid $15 per hour effective March the 1st.
Mary has worked with the county for several years and a short respite, and then she's been working in the Adams County Auditor's Office for a little over a year. And so she should work in well because she has experience in the real estate part, which the deputy that's leaving worked the real estate part, and also payroll and the accounting.
In other business, the Board of Supervisors approved a payroll change and pay rate for Christopher Williams, a secondary roads department employee who has completed his probationary period. The increase is retroactive to February 10th, and since he is a union employee, his rate of pay will be increased from $18.61 to $19.11 per hour. Cass County Engineer Assistant Engineer Rich Hansen updated the board on the status of three upcoming bridge substructure projects.
We got the plans ready. We're advertising now through the DOT and through the newspaper. We'll have our letting in our office March 8th. So we'll see who gets the low bid. All three bridges are tied together. We did go out for quotes for our steel for the bridges. We got that yesterday, and we got three good bids there, but we're getting the steel from Odin Enterprise. There's about $54,000 worth of steel to do the three bridges. The bridges, we supply the material. They do the labor and equipment to take the double T's off the bridge, remove the old wood piling and wood abutment that's failed, put new steel piling and steel sheet back wall, and put the double T's back on.
The bridges are concrete double T designs which have decayed pilings beneath them. Putting in the new pilings and the substructure will allow the county to remove the weight limits for those bridges, according to Hansen.
One of them is Bridge 102, way in the southwest corner of the county, south of Griswold. The other one's on Pella Road, Bridge 123, about three quarters of a mile back. It's on the gas plant road, about three quarters of a mile back from the Dare County line. And the third one is on Yankton Road, about 2.5 miles west of 148, I think it's Bridge 17. That one there, we're not taking the panels off. What they're going to do there to remove the weight limit is we're driving four piling. It's a steel I-beam bridge with a concrete deck, but it's got the tall wood back wall and wood abutment, and that is all failed and rotted. So we're drilling holes through the concrete deck. We'll drive piling down through it 2 foot from the old abutment. So they'll drive the piling in, cut them off, slide a cap underneath, and pull everything up tight, so that'll be the new abutment. The old back wall and stuff will stay there, but this will reduce the weight limit on all three of the bridges.
Hanson Sim, whoever the contractor is, they'll have until November to complete the projects. Work will most likely be conducted on the bridges over the summer. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hanson reporting.